Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Representative Andrew Carlson. I'd like to call the meeting of the Property and Local Tax Division to order. The following members are present. We have Representative Zhang, Representative Vang, Representative Hewitt, Representative Marquardt, Representative Hertas, Representative Rumbeck, Representative Bernardi, Representative Gomez, Representative Drazkowski, and Representative Petersburg are currently all on the call. So thank you all for being here today. And if other members join us, we'll acknowledge them as well. So next on the agenda, with that, there is a quorum present, so we can conduct our business. Let's see. I have a motion from Representative Vang to move the May 4th minutes. Any discussion on the minutes? I'll give folks a chance to be unmuted here. All those in favor of the May 4th minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any opposed, say no. With that, the minutes from May 4th have been approved. All right, members, today we continue our discussion from Monday on the Delete Everything Amendment to House File 346. Members, you'll recall that the First Amendment, we have a little business to do here first. We need to move the amendment first. Once that is finished, we'll move to the general discussion and comments. First, we have to move the underlying bill, which is the A20DE. All right, so I'll move House File 346 as referred to be referred to the Committee on Taxes. So moving the A20 amendment. Members, this is a procedural motion to adopt the language that we heard on Monday. So after this is adopted, once we adopt this amendment, we'll have any discussion on those. Any discussion on the A20 amendment, members? Okay, hearing none, give folks to be unmuted here. All those in favor of the A20 amendment, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, with that, we have the bill before us. The first amendment is the author's amendment labeled A6. And members, you're also sent a summary of the author's amendment. I'm sorry, author's okay. Sorry, folks. I thought I got muted there just for a second. All right. We are going to, Ms. Hagler, are you on the line with us to explain the changes to the A6 amendment?
I am, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
We can. Welcome. If you could please proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, I will be working off of the document with memorandum up in the top right-hand corner that has a table on the page and line comments and purpose statements for the A6 amendment. So the first adjustment made by this amendment is to Article 1, Section 1 of the division report relating to the elderly living facility deferral. This language provides a technical rewording to make it clear that if the property no longer qualifies for the exemption, then the county auditor is to start imposing tax on the property beginning in the year that the property becomes ineligible for the exemption. So this was just a clarification. Next, the amendment makes an adjustment to Article 2, Section 1 to exempt homestead properties from the short-term rental classification. Thus, if the property is classified as a homestead, it won't be reclassified as a short-term rental if part of the property is rented. Next, the amendment makes a technical adjustment to Article 1, Section 3 relating to the Disabled Veterans Homestead Exclusion. It changes the effective date of the provision. Originally, the section was to become effective for taxes payable in this year, 2020. However, for that to have occurred, the applications would have been needed to be submitted by December 31, 2019. So the adjustment in the A6 amendment just makes it so that applications will be due this coming December 2020. Next, the amendment makes an adjustment to Article 2, Section 6 relating to local lodging taxes to ensure that the accommodations intermediary language applies to all local lodging taxes, whether they're imposed by special law or are in the city's charter. Second, the amendment provides an opt-out clause for small cities and towns so they can opt out of the accommodations intermediary language. And lastly, the next few lines of the amendment provide some edits to the local sales tax working group language. Some of these edits just provide some cleanup from some extraneous words and paragraphs, and it removes certain criteria that the working group will use to assess the capital projects and changes the due date of the group's report from November 1, 2021 to July 2021.
Thank you, Ms. Hagler. Anything else?
There's one more, that the moratorium on local sales taxes was also removed from that provision.
Yeah, excellent. That's an important one. Thank you, Ms. Hagler. Members, just some context with regards to Ms. Hagler's presentation. First, there were some technical changes that were mentioned. These are customary changes per the author's amendment. We also deleted the moratorium language. This was done so that we're not forcing future legislatures' hands on how to approach local sales taxes, and will allow for viable local sales tax proposals to move forward next year. We thought that that was worth the change. Next, the group study language was altered to make the language less prescriptive and move up the timeline to better suit future local sales tax proposals based on feedback from cities. Next, the local lodging tax language is altered to allow small cities to opt out if they so choose, since the point was raised that some small municipalities may be opposed to this change. And the short-term rental language is modified so that it won't apply to residential homestead. You may recall this follows a recommendation from a previous property tax working group study. I think it was back in 2012. And so with that, we're going to move the A6 amendment. Any discussion on the A6 amendment? Representative Petersburg, we see that you're on the list here. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So one of the questions I had in regards to the moratorium and removing that, I think that makes some sense. As I said earlier this week, it seemed like changing things in the middle from one year to the next was very overwhelming and overbearing on some of these cities and others. And so I think that's helpful to allow the working group to work through this while we still allow the cities to work under the old program, I think is beneficial. My only question is, from that, does that mean, or can I assume then, that we don't have any projects this year that we felt would be qualified to actually move forward and get approval? Is that the way I'm understanding the language?
Representative Petersburg, yes, that is correct. So while we have deleted the moratorium, we are not proposing any local option sales taxes as part of the division report.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Other member questions? Folks, please email Nathan if you have a question. I will recognize that Representative Herr has joined the call, so welcome. All right. Not seeing any other questions on the A6. Members, I'm going to assume voice vote on amendments. So I'll speak slowly, but my assumption is that we'll be doing voice votes unless a roll call is requested. Okay, looks like we have everybody unmuted at this time. So all those in favor of the A6 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, with that, the amendment is adopted. Next, we have the A1 amendment. Representative Petersburg, I believe this is your amendment. If you would please explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a real simple amendment, and it was a bill that we had scheduled to be heard before the shutdown in this property committee hearing as well. But it simply is, and the only change is on page 2, line 30, in which it expands the agricultural property homestead exemption to the same language as we allow for residential homestead exemption. So then it would also include not only the children and grandchildren, but also grandparents, step-parents, aunt, uncle, nephew, or niece. It just kind of mirrors the language then for residential as it does then for ag, and I think that's an appropriate use of homestead exemptions.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Representative Petersburg moved the A1 amendment. Members, I discussed this language with Representative Petersburg. As he had mentioned, we were scheduled to hear this before the shutdown. It's a fairly small change with limited impact, lining up with the agricultural homestead exemption with the residential homestead, lining up with the residential homestead exemption. So I'll be voting in favor of this amendment. Any questions or further discussion from the committee regarding the A1 amendment? Let's see. While we're waiting for members to see if they have any questions, Michelle, do you have some information for us with regards to the possible fiscal impact? Do we have you on the line still, Ms. Jill? Okay. Well, if we get you on the line, we can always come back.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
We can. Hi.
Wonderful.
Did you get my question with regards to
the... I did.
Okay. Any information for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members. There is a revenue estimate available for Representative Petersburg's bill. And what we can see with the revenue estimate at this time, with an effective date beginning with property tax payable in 2021, there is an unknown impact to both property tax refund interactions, the homestead market value credit, and then also a small unknown impact on the estate tax. And this is basically because you can't tell which properties would qualify for this expansion of eligible persons for this relative homestead. And so that's where we sit right now with this estimate.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Very much appreciated. Not seeing any more questions, member questions, we'll move to a vote. Give a second here to unmute everybody. Okay, all those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, with that, the A1 amendment is approved. Thank you, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you.
Next, we have Mr. Representative Petersburg, any closing comments or moving on?
No. Okay. I just was saying thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Okay. Members, next we have the A2 amendment, Representative Marquardt. Representative Marquardt, would you please explain your amendment?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Members, the A2 amendment would continue a property tax exemption for 30 to 35 property parcels owned in Cass County by the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. And so this was a bill that was authored by Representative Purcell, House File 4391, and kind of like Representative Petersburg, because of the conditions and so forth, our situation did not get heard. But it's land owned by the band, and they, for the last several years, have not been paying property taxes in Cass County because it's qualified for under the purely charitable property tax exemption, which is under statute 272.02. And by the way, there are 103 exemptions. So this would be subdivision 104. In fact, last year we did one for licensed child care facilities. So anyway, for a number of years, these have been exempt from property taxes. But in 2019, the Department of Revenue clarified this part of law, which deals with institutions of public charity, and said that they had to be a 501c3 organization. And my understanding is that tribes cannot do this. And so in 2019, the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe was informed by Cass County that they would now, those 30 to 35 parcels, would now go on the property tax rolls. And so there's a number of meetings between the band, Cass County, Department of Revenue, and they thought the best fix was legislative. And so this is what we have. It sounds like everyone is on board, but basically it's very narrowly defined. It would exempt properties owned by the Indian tribe in Cass County, and it would be exclusively for land use for tribal purposes or institutions of purely public charity. And so it would exempt those 30 to 35 properties. So because no taxes have been paid yet on those, this would not be a loss on this, just this particular thing, would not be a loss of revenue to Cass County. And again, my understanding is Cass County, Department of Revenue, and everyone's on board. So, members, that is the amendment, and I would ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. And with that, Representative Marquardt moves the A2 amendment. Any discussion, any member discussion on the amendment? I'll give folks a chance to let us know. And, Michelle, while we have, we're kind of waiting to see if members have any questions, could you describe for us any fiscal impacts with regards to this amendment, to the A2 amendment?
Mr. Chair, once again, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you. Mr. Chair and members, with respect to the revenue estimate for House File 4391, Representative Purcell's bill, the Department of Revenue has scored a very slight cost in fiscal 21, and then there would be some property tax interactions with this change for the tails, fiscal 22 and 23. But the slight impact in fiscal 21 happens with the state general levy, and what is going on there, it's because this proposal is retroactive. Taxes paid in the year 2020, that first payment has already occurred. And so with approval of this particular provision, Cass County will have to do some refunds of the state general levy. That impact would be $10,000 in fiscal 2021. And so that they have scored it that way. And then going out with the property tax refunds in fiscal 22 and 23, that shifting of the tax burden onto other properties, once again, it's $10,000 in each fiscal year in the tail. That concludes the summary of the impacts here.
Thank you, Michelle. Very much appreciated. I'm not seeing any other member questions, so we're going to go to a vote. And I'm going to pause just for a second so everybody can be unmuted. Okay. All those in favor of the A2 amendment say aye.
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 Any opposed say no. All right. The A2 amendment is approved. The next.
Thank you, members.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Very much appreciated. Next, I have the A9 amendment. Representative Gomez, would you please present the A9 amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Great. Okay, so the A9 amendment is before you. So the bill that we're considering, our division report, includes language from Representatives Petersburg and Hertas that provides local governments with some financial flexibility during this crisis. The A9 amendment has the same intent. It gives Hennepin County flexibility with its local sales tax to dedicate funding to the homelessness crisis and to affordable housing that's, you know, related and a driver of homelessness. So the ramifications of the current economic crisis put an even greater strain on people experiencing homelessness or those at an increased risk of homelessness. The impacts are going to be felt for many years. Of course, the county, Hennepin County, also is experiencing this the sort of greater impact of homelessness during this economic crisis. Hennepin County's 0.15% sales tax is in place to pay down the debt on the Twins ballpark. It can also be used to fund about $5 million annually in grants to youth sports and extended library hours. So this bill just adds an additional use to those two so that the county can spend up to $2.5 million for affordable housing. That's deeply affordable housing at less than 30% of area median income, which is the part of the housing spectrum that experts tell us has the greatest need. And so it's sort of like the place where we target investment to have the greatest impact. Hennepin County currently has a network of emergency shelters with nearly 900 beds, and they're almost always at capacity. There are more than 732 people were counted among Hennepin County's unsheltered homeless last year. And of course, as I said, in you know, the housing crisis has intensified because of COVID-19. And also, you might remember the Christmas Day fire that destroyed the Francis Drake Hotel in downtown Minneapolis. So that provided a lot of units for people who were in the coordinated entry system and on their way to permanent supportive housing, but kind of in this in-between place. So that's been a big loss for the city and the county. The county is really active and impactful in the housing realm. They work with partners to maximize leverage of other resources so that the county is able to target their funds to really fill in those hard to satisfy needs in the housing spectrum. So the sales tax it first has to go to pay stadium debt and contractual obligations. Like I said, excess funds can then be used to fund up to $4 million of the youth sports and extension of library hours. And this amendment will allow for the additional use of those funds for housing assistance. additional revenue in the past has been used by the county to pay down the debt more quickly, and we're in general kind of ahead on this debt of where we projected we would be when the ballpark was first built. And when the bonds are paid off on the tax, it will be eliminated. So this would apply for the duration of, you know, that tax being in place, but it's not indefinitely. So that's the amendment. Mr. Chair, this was brought to me as an idea by Hennepin County really recently, which is why it's just now before us, just in the last day. And so, you know, seeing the need for more conversation, I would like to withdraw the amendment at this time, but I just to committee members, I would appreciate, you know, your consideration of this and any feedback that you have either to offer me now or offline. I'd be happy to continue the conversation. For those of us who are on the tax committee, I will likely be bringing this forward as an amendment to the tax bill during markup, but I look forward to having sort of a more robust conversation about the idea in the meantime. So
Thank you, Representative Gomez. Clearly the need for addressing the homeless crisis is great. Representative Gomez has withdrawn her amendment, but do any members have any questions?
Representative Mr. Chair?
Yes, please identify yourself.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hertzog.
Representative Hertzog, yes.
Thank you. Since I happen to be driving at the moment, I'm going to refrain from trying to text Mr. Jessen that I would like to be recognized. So if there's any more comments, I'll just try to interrupt with Mr. Chair. Thank you.
No problem.
Representative Gomez, thank you for your brief explanation about it. And obviously you have withdrawn it for purposes of discussion. Thank you for being clear that you intend to bring this forward in the full tax committee. You seem to suggest that the bill itself or the amendment addresses housing, but in general, you are more specifically addressing homelessness. And so could you clarify if it was your intent with this amendment to dedicate these monies to homelessness or to housing in general?
Representative Gomez. Representative Gomez, did you catch Representative Hertzog's question?
I did, yes.
Okay, please proceed.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Hertzog, for the question. So the language in the bill provides for housing assistance and support for households earning less than 30% of area median income. And so the housing assistance program is, you know, it helps people pay their rent when they can't afford it. And the language as it's written provides some flexibility for the county because of that like support for households earning less than 30% of area median income. So the idea is that this would, you know, there's a complex of supports for those households at the lowest median income that is homelessness prevention and like getting people into permanent housing. It's not for like affordable housing production, for example, if that's like what you're asking. It's for the housing assistance and support that the county provides to those very low income households, many of whom are kind of transitioning out of homelessness.
And Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Hertzog.
Thank you. And I've got probably just a few more questions or a series of questions about this issue. So Representative Gomez, although you've broadened the scope of which this amendment would apply to. Emphasis was given to the homelessness, and in particular the hotel that did meet its demise through fire last winter. I understand that there are approximately 400 individuals identified as homeless within Hennepin County. Do you have an idea of how much is being spent housing these people in temporary housing at this time?
President Gomez?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Hurtas. I think you're talking about the individuals who are currently being housed in hotels that Hennepin County is contracting with, in sort of their individuals who are elderly or immunocompromised, who are staying in temporary shelter that have been relocated. Representative Hurtas, is that what you're asking, is the cost for that right now for the hotels?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the reason I'm asking the question is Hennepin County contacted me about an hour ago regarding this amendment and made special emphasis on the fact that budgets are being stretched for housing the homeless. And I asked you a leading question about what the cost is. If you're not aware of it, Hennepin County shared with me that they are currently spending about $400,000 per week housing these 400 homeless. And so the simple math on that works out to be $1,000 per individual per week, and dividing that by seven means approximately $150 per night to be premium in presumably a kind of a high rent district of hotels in downtown Minneapolis. And so if this is the primary purpose for the short term to continue a funding stream for this type of expenditure for the homeless, I have no issue with the need to take care of or house the homeless, but I am concerned about the high costs and the decisions being made to put these folks in $150 a night hotel rooms in Minneapolis. So that is one of my concerns, Mr. Chair. Maybe Representative Gomez might have more information about that direction of my question.
Okay. Representative Gomez, any further thoughts?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Hurtas. Yeah, I mean, we have been getting weekly updates on our Hennepin County delegation calls about this. I mean, I think that, honestly, jurisdictions around the country are struggling with this. I will tell you that it's not in my district, but really close by to where I live. There are encampments popping up, right? There is an encampment that's 40 tents. It's pretty large. You know, it's on Metro Transit property, and it's during a pandemic. That's a very unsafe way for people to be living, and so I guess I just. I can understand the concern about the high cost of housing these vulnerable individuals during this really difficult time. And I can't speak to what the negotiations were like with the hotels or where they chose to site people. But I mean, this crisis, this COVID crisis is revealing the failures of our social safety net. It's revealing the impact of, the crisis of working class people in this country. I mean, I think that we all represent communities where more and more people are falling through the cracks. We often hear about the fact that, we have an economy where 40% of people couldn't weather, an unforeseen $400 expense. And so people are losing housing and are finding themselves homeless. And then a global pandemic hits, right? So it's like we have to deal with the failures of our system. And when we don't invest what we need to upstream, then this is what we end up with. When we don't invest in healthcare upstream, then guess what? In preventative care, then people end up coming to the ER. And then something that could have cost, you know, $100 costs $1,000. When we don't make sure that, people have the basics that they need to have a good life, when we in the richest country that's ever existed on the face of the earth allow families to not have housing and a global pandemic hits, then yeah, you got to put them up in a hotel, right? Those are choices that we've made and that we're having to deal with the impact of. And of course, nobody wants to be paying millions of dollars for hotel rooms. Like that's not the kind of investment that any of us would like say, oh yeah, that's like the right approach to our homelessness epidemic. But that's where we are because of the decisions that we've made. So, you know, I mean, I think I share your concern about that, about the high cost of this crisis. I mean, I heard that our county, your county and my county, like, has emptied their emergency reserves. And so, like, we have to figure out how to help them meet their obligations to our communities in the face of a social safety net that has been underinvested in and an acute crisis of public health that requires us to ensure that people can be safe.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Yes, we do have other member questions. So if Representative Perkins, if you could be succinct.
Thank you. Concluding remark, thank you, Representative Gomez. And I don't think it's a partisan issue that we need to take care of the least fortunate in our community. That's not what I was trying to zero down on. In Ways and Means Committee, we've got some budget briefings, and as this moves on towards taxes, you know, I fully can support the idea that we need to do something to help our homelessness, but as this specific piece goes forward and it hits the taxes and probably eventually the Ways and Means as well, I want to make sure that there's some guardrails on how the money is spent, and in as much as COVID has dramatically changed and altered all of our hopes, meaning all of us collectively on both sides of the aisle, all of us probably came to this committee and other committees with aspirations about what we might be able to do this session, and to have that all kind of destroyed by COVID. And we're facing serious budget challenges, and whatever money is being spent, whether it's our money, taxpayers' money, whether it's the federal money, we need to spend it really wisely, because we're going to be facing shortages of cash on all fronts, and that's my only concern here. Thank you for bringing your proposal forward. It's a creative idea. I understand that. I get that. But we do need to put some guardrails around how the money is going to be spent, and even with regard to aid, by maybe even putting a per diem allowance per individual, what can be spent in terms of temporary housing would do well to cause Hennepin County officials to have to really negotiate on behalf of these hotels and motels. This should not turn out to be paying full fare, given that there are fewer any customers in the motels or hotels right now anyway. This is not the going boom rate, but anyway, I'll end it there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hertaus. Next on the list, I have Representative Raskowski. Do you want to proceed with your question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'm just was just turning to the amendment. I'm curious if staff can tell us the history of this section of statute. This is the funding for the Viking Stadium. Is that what it is? And it's a local option sales tax. I was here and voted no on the Viking Stadium. I remember that debate. Could staff outline kind of the history of this, this section of the statute, and then I've got some comments and questions for you.
Sure. Ms. Dalton, could you provide some context for us, please?
Mr. Chair, yes, this is one of the sports taxes in Hennepin County, and we have this isn't the tax that's funding the Vikings, which is actually their general sales tax. This is the Twins tax, and so it's funding the Twins Stadium, and they are allowed right now to spend about $5 million on. I'm sorry, I think I'm wrong. I think this is the Vikings. No, this is not the Vikings Stadium. Mr. Chair, could you mute me for a second while I just quick look up to make sure?
Sure, absolutely, Ms. Dalton. Let us know when you're ready. Representative Drazkowski, any further comments why Ms. Dalton does a little research into your question?
Yeah, I do. Mr. Chair, members, you know, Minneapolis has been given a bunch of these types of special opportunities in statute, and my opinion is this section of statute should go away. We shouldn't be creating special carve-outs for municipalities to do things that other municipalities can't. They don't have to go to their voters to do this. They don't have to come to the legislature to do it. To do any particular, I mean, there's ad hoc types of expenditures in here that they're allowed to spend the city or is it the city or the county? They are allowed to spend local option sales tax in an ad hoc manner on their own. And in this case, it appears, I'd be interested in what the author expects here. It says, and support for households. So it's some sort of welfare payment is what it looks like, an ad hoc cash payment of some sort to a group of people that essentially it sounds like the municipality is going to determine who that is and hand them out charity at the expense of the taxpayers that paid it without those taxpayers having any particular opportunity to weigh in. So. I find that problematic. Again, this section of statute could go away, and it would help clean up some of the mess, I think, that we have around local option sales taxes. But I'm curious with the author if she can tell us more about what the expectation is and what and support for households means and what that would look like. Is it just going to be cash payments, that type of thing?
Representative Gomez, comments?
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Drazkowski. So first of all, we agree, I don't think that we should be spending public tax money, tax dollars on sports stadiums, and certainly not without getting voter approval. So we're in accord on that. And this is just to clarify, this is for the Twins ballpark, Target Field, I think it's called. And this isn't Minneapolis. This is actually the ballpark is paid for by this, tax, which is levied by Hennepin County. So the housing assistance program, like I said, goes through the county and pays, landlords potentially. My understanding is that support for households refers to some of the services, navigation services. It's very difficult to get, and Hennepin County spends a lot of money helping especially families transition out of homelessness and into long-term stable housing, which, to be clear, saves taxpayers' dollars over time, right? Because they're not accessing these emergency services, which, to Representative Hertoff's point, can be really, really pricey. So this is investing in that that support for those households who are very low income in navigating the process of getting into permanent housing and ultimately maybe accessing some of that housing assistance. So, I mean, I could be wrong, but my understanding is that this isn't, or as you call it, welfare payments or like cash payments to individual families. This is about helping families who have fallen on hard times navigate what is a very, very difficult system in order to access permanent housing for them and their families. I don't know if that is enough. I mean, the county, I think that the language is designed to some extent to provide some flexibility to the county. I will follow up with you with some more specifics about what that support for households would look like and what those sort of the specifics about what those programmatic elements are that support those families earning less than 30% of area median income and getting them into permanent housing.
Thank you, Representative Gomez. Ms. Dalton, I believe you have some information to share with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I just suddenly had this, brain freeze, and I was suddenly confused about Viking Stadium versus Twin Stadium. As Representative Gomez said, this really is this is the Twins tax. This is the 0.15 tax imposed countywide. Since the tax was authorized, there's always been a portion that has gone to pay for libraries and youth sports. It started at $400,000 a year because there was automatic inflators added to it. That has increased to about $500,000 a year. So essentially what they're asking for is, $5 million a year. I'll get my numbers right. $5 million a year. So essentially they're asking to be allowed to move $2.5 million additional money for housing purposes. There is, if this money is not used for this purpose, it will be used to defease the fund, to defease the existing bonds, and then used to put together a reserve account that can be used for refurbishing the stadium in the future. So if this money isn't going there, then that's where the money is going. Hope that answers any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton. Very much appreciated. Representative Drazkowski, a final thought?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, thanks for the discussion. Thank you, Representative Gomez and Ms. Dalton. The taxpayers in the county are not going to get a chance to weigh in on this if this is added in. I think that's a huge disservice to them. They are going to take away from the ability for them to get rid of that property tax or that local sales tax liability on themselves is going to be diminished by this activity in the legislature if this happens. I also mentioned just a kind of a political thing here, Representative Gomez, the bigger and more obvious this whole thing gets when the Republicans get back in control. I think this is one of those areas that as it swings back and forth, Republicans like to take a look at in the past as we get in budget deficits and you don't want to make the target any bigger.
Thank you, Representative Drazkowski.
Thank
members,
you,
I do not have any more amendments before us. So with that, we can move to member discussion on the bill as before us. So this would be questions with regard to the final division report. If you have any sage words, comments, let Mr. Jessen know. If you don't see something pop up here in the next few seconds, we can.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hertzhaus.
Yes, Representative Hertog.
I would like to make a concluding remark if anyone else has anything to comment else on the bill. I'll stand by.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm not seeing any, so Representative Hertog, please proceed.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, as I mentioned earlier in my comments, I'm sure many of us came to committee with aspirations of doing what we could do to maybe reduce property taxes or provide relief in other areas. Obviously, a lot of our hopes have been dashed. I appreciate everything that you've done. You had to take the helm in absence of our former chair who passed away. Thank you. I think you've done a great job. I want to especially point out a special thanks for the type of conduct you've exemplified in leading the committee in taking off all of the prison hats. I want to especially thank the members to make you aware that Chair Carlson has contacted me on several occasions in terms of discussing things coming before the committee in advance of the committee. And I think that's the type of positive working relationship that's necessary as we must all come together and unite during this COVID crisis, as well as what's going to be a looming budget crisis. And there are many members of this committee who have past served as chairs of the committee, such as Representative Marquardt and Representative Runbeck, Representative Drazkowski, perhaps even others. But these, maybe call it nerdy, but it's a numbers kind of committee, taxes, finance. These are things, the numbers don't lie, and it's always great to take off the partisan hats and roll up our sleeves and do what we have to do to address the needs of Minnesota and taxpayers and be responsible and accountable to them. So with that, Mr. Chair, thank you for your hard work, and I've enjoyed working with you. This most likely is the wrap-up of property taxes for the remaining session. So thank you, Kai.
Thank you, Representative Hertog. Seeing no more member discussion on the bill, I'm going to renew my motion that House File 346, as amended, be referred to the Committee on Taxes. And I plan to proceed with a voice vote in just a second once we unmute everybody here. Okay, I'm getting the thumbs up. All in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say no.
No.
One no is noted. The motion prevails, and the bill is referred to the Committee on Taxes. Members, as Representative Hertog mentioned, this is indeed our last scheduled property tax committee. There will be a full tax committee, I believe, on Friday. Just wanted to just take a moment here and thank quite a few people. Before that, though, Representative Hertog, any closing comments? I think you kind of touched on a lot of things. Anything else? And then I would like to allow Representative Drazkowski to make some closing comments as well before I kind of close things out. Representative Hertog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know you're about to thank the staff. I appreciate that. I appreciated very much the interactions with the support staff, Mr. Jessup, all of our fiscal staff, and enjoyed working with all of the members on both sides of the aisle. So thank you for the civil discourse as we go through this tough time. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hertog, and safe travel. Representative Drazkowski, some final thoughts from you, sir.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just keep it very brief. I second thanks to all the staff. These guys and gals have done a great job and continue to, and they are very professional and even can make it work over the phone. Like this, and Mr. Chair, you have done a great job in filling in kind of a crisis situation with our committee, have proven the demeanor and the electronic adeptness to make it work as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Graskowski. Members, again, it's been a pleasure to work with all of you, but we would be remiss if we didn't thank our wonderful staff. We have Ellen Larson, Sean Hayden, Stephen Rubitz, Nathan Jessen, Kathy Schill, Cynthia Templin, Jared Swanson, Alex Hagler, Sean Williams, Chris Clayman, and, of course, our very own Pat Dalton. Pat, I really, really enjoyed getting to work with you this past year, this past session. I'm going to miss you so much. Do you have some – I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you want to say a few words? I'll take that as a no. Well, maybe we'll get some final thoughts from Ms. Dalton during the
I'm right. Sorry, can you hear me?
We can, yes. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
I had my phone muted as well. Mr. Chair, it has, and members of the committee, it has been a pleasure working for this committee for the last 34 years. I really appreciate it, and I wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure working with you as well. Members, with that, let me just take a peek real quick at my notes before we adjourn. I think I've got it all covered here. I'm getting the thumbs up once again. With that, members, we are adjourned. Thank you so much for your hard work over the past session. And we will continue this good work in the full tax committee. With that, we are adjourned.